Good evening, everyone. My wife, Georgia, and I just arrived from the Philippines on Thursday, and we're very happy to be with you here this evening. So it's been about 3 years or more since we've been back to the U.S., so in our presentation tonight, I'll refresh your memory about who we are and what we do quickly, and then we'll talk about the progress we've made in the last 3 years and what's up for the future of our mission work in the Philippines. So we are Casa Esperanza of Angels Foundation. That's our incorporation name in the Philippines. In the U.S., we're incorporated under the name of Philippine Mission. So Casa Esperanza, if you're wondering, is House Hope, and angels being the children that we have at our orphanage under our care. We are a U.S. 501c3 organization. So we are located in the city of Tanhai on the island of Negros. It's in the central Philippines. It's about 350 miles south of Manila, the capital. So it is a fairly large island, probably about the fourth largest island in the Philippines. What you're seeing there in the picture on the right is half of the island. It's divided into two provinces. And about one-third of the way up the coast there, you can see Tanhai in the yellow rectangle. So just interestingly enough, on our side of the island, the local language is Visayan. On the other side of the island, the language is Ilonggo. And my wife, although she's from Negros, cannot understand Ilonggo from the other side of the island. So they revert back to the national language, Tagalog, when they meet up like that and they cannot understand each other. Our mission is to seek and save the lost through two different avenues, the residential care and teaching of orphaned, abandoned, abused, and neglected children, and outreach and evangelism to our community around us. So in 2016, we purchased a 2-hectare, 4.94 piece of property. It was all sugarcane. So we harvested the sugarcane and began working on our project. So in 2016, we started construction. This is the front gate entrance. We began working on the exterior enclosure wall. In this picture from 2017, you can see we have about half of the enclosure wall completed, and we are beginning construction of the first children's home. This 2023 Google Earth image shows the entire property. Starting from the bottom, you see the guardhouse now complete at the front entrance, our tent, which is a temporary structure you'll learn more about in a moment, our CEA Learning Center that is now under construction, our playground for the children, our two children's homes that are now complete and functional, operational, our laundry house where our social workers also temporarily have an office, our director's living quarters, a storage area, and our mini forest and gardens. So talk about our children's homes. So we have two children's homes that have been built and are now functional and operational. Our House of Hope is for our boys, and our House of Faith is for our girls. The boys' home has a maximum capacity of 16 boys. The two houses are the exact same size, but they have different floor plans, so they house a different number of children. So our girls' home will house a maximum of 24 girls. The playground is a half-court basketball court one way and a full badminton and volleyball court the other way. So the children on the weekends, especially Saturday and Sunday, get time to spend playing on the playground. Most of the week they're in school, so they don't get a lot of time to play. So as I said, we haven't been back for 3 years, and the main reason for that was COVID-19. We just couldn't travel, the travel restrictions. And so our kids were basically prisoners within the facility as well. So for 2 years, the face-to-face classes were shut down in the Philippines. So the Department of Education supplied us with modular lessons for the children to complete while they were at home. So basically, we homeschooled all the children for 2 years. So back to the old one classroom style where we had children all the way from kindergarten to 11th grade all in the tent, studying their lessons each and every day. So we brought in volunteer teachers from other places on the island. They traveled every day. We paid them a small honorarium fee to help our children with their studies for 2 years. So let's have a look at our children. So we take children in from a lot of various different situations. We take children that are abandoned. Perhaps their parents moved to Manila or overseas for work. That's quite frequently happens in the Philippines, and they leave those children behind with a grandparent or aunt or uncle or something, and they never make it back. They end up starting another family in another location. So these children have, in a sense, been abandoned. We take in children that are neglected. Maybe, you know, not all parents are good parents. They have kids, but they don't take care of them properly, and they may have too many also. So we take in children that are neglected like that. We take in abused children, whether it's psychologically, physically, or sexually. We take in children that are just in extreme poverty situation. Maybe they have 6 kids or more, and they just cannot properly care for these children, so we take those children in as well. So we run the gamut. We take all kinds of children from various different situations. So in 2019, we started out with 2 boys and 1 girl. In 2020, we added 3 boys, 10 girls that year. Good year for the girls. 2021, we had 3 boys and 6 girls added, 4 boys and 4 girls in 2022. And so far in 2023, we've added 1 boy and 2 girls, which brings our total to 30 now, because 6 children have been discharged from the facility. 4 were returned to their families, and 2 have been relocated to another facility that can better care for them and closer to their mother, in hopes that the family can be reunited if she can get her life together. So I'd like to show you some of the children. This is not all, but this is just a few of them. So within the first 2 weeks, a child is adapting to our facility. And we initially begin noticing quite quickly the physical changes. They have not been eating properly. They have no medical care usually where they're at. So we see the physical changes first. Their complexion, their physical stamina, and these kinds of things improve quite quickly. And so you can really see the difference. In this photo on the left, you see Mary Lynn in Jamaica with their grandmother the day she brought them to the facility. And on the right, there they are 3 years later. Angelo was actually the 3rd child that came to our facility. You see him with his mother in the house that she has. Angelo's mother suffers from mental illness, so there were times in Angelo's life where there was no food in the house, and she's just not able to care for him properly. Maria Flor, who we call just Flor, there's her with her single mother and brother. This is actually at her grandmother's house. They were living at her grandmother's house. And there is Floor 3 years later. Arlene Grace, she was left by her parents with her grandparents. That's her in their home with their grandparents, and they're elderly and their income is very low. They could not send her to school, so we took in Grace. The Valderramo siblings, we have 3 siblings from this family. Their family situation is quite difficult and complex. But we have all 3 of these siblings now, and they are doing well. BU is a little bit of a behavior problem, but his 2 sisters are doing quite well in the facility. This is Jonah Bell. You can see her house there that she lived in, and the picture in the center in the pink shirt is the day she arrived at our facility, and the extreme right photo is her today, most recent photo. This is Jezebel and Joel. You see them in the picture on the left. They're right in the center. And here they are in 2023 together at our facility. Joel is a bit of a problem. He's a 5-year-old, so he's a little bit of a challenge to manage. But Jezebel is a very, very good girl. So we're still working with Joel and trying to work on his behavior issues. So this is Akilah that came to us in 2023 this year. You can see her with her grandparents in their home. You see a palm tree that's fallen in front of their home that they haven't taken care of yet, probably from Typhoon Odette in December of 2021. This is Precious and Janama. You can see they are siblings there in the photo, and the top right is the home that they came from. Their father is a fisherman, and of course his income depends on what he can catch each day, and he is unable to fully support these children and send them to school. Here's all our children together in a group photo, 18 girls and 12 boys. Oops, let me back up there. Okay, so we have 20 elementary children, and then we have 11 high school children. So if you were adding up my numbers, I told you earlier we have 30, and now it's 31 because we have one biological child of one of our house mothers that has also at the facility and integrated with all the other children. So he's treated the same as all the other children as far as discipline and behavior. There's no partiality or favoritism, but he is doing quite well with all the other children in the home. So most of our children are honor students. A lot of them are actually behind in school, but they're still honor students compared to a lot of the local kids. So I think Ma'am Gigi told me that in the recent grading, all our elementary students were honor students. Many of them are behind in their schooling because maybe they missed years or their parents did not really push them to work hard on their schoolwork. So we're trying to catch a lot of kids up to their grade level. But it's a challenge, but they're doing well. They're studying as hard as they can. So I'd like to have you meet some of our staff. So we started in 2018 with a very skeleton staff of only 5 people. And now today we have 11 staff and actually 2 volunteers. A second volunteer was added just a couple of days before we left the facility. You can see my beautiful picture there. That's a joke. I am the managing director. I manage all the day-to-day operations, all the policies, procedures, hiring, termination, all those kinds of things. And Ma'am Gigi, my wife, does as much, if not more, work than I do. Even though her title is activities director, she handles a lot of work. By the way, she is a retired master teacher. She has a lot of experience with children. She tutors our children. She deals with all the dealings with the schools. She does all the government work with the red tape, with our employees. So all the fun things that you have to do to follow the government regulations to have employees. You see, Laura is our social worker. She's a licensed social worker. We are supposed to have 2 licensed social workers based on the number of children we have. But one just resigned to go work for the government, which is higher paid. As a nonprofit, we cannot compete with the government and their salary. But Laura is our resident social worker, licensed social worker. Also on this slide is Rhea May, and we're training her as an administrative assistant. So the house mothers for our 2 homes, House of Hope, our boys' home, Dina is the house mother, and Eileen assists her. In the House of Faith, our girls' house is Erlin and Nords. These are our house mothers. So originally, our model was to have a couple, a husband and wife team, but we have found that very, very difficult to find and hire. So originally, we had one couple, married Christian couple, as a house mother and father. But we've lost them, and now we are only able to find women that will fill this job. So we're happy with them, but we wish we could find couples so that the children would have a father figure and a mother figure, but we're doing the best we can. So we also have Manny as our maintenance manager, Elmer is our groundskeeper, Jeffrey is our driver, Demi is one of our volunteers, and we just added Daisy, another volunteer that helps care for the children. So baptisms, we have had 3 baptisms in 2020, Angelo, Arvin, and Grace. In 2021, we had 6 baptisms, Marvick, Kiana, Liberty, Robin, Hilla, and Jillian. And in 2022, we had 4 baptisms, Michael, Maria Faye, and Loner. So Maria Faye and Loner had been baptized before. They were kind of joined a bunch of other kids that were getting baptized. But when we talked to them, they really had no idea why they were baptized. They just joined in because the other kids were doing it. So we've gone through extensive Bible studies with them, and they now fully understand why they were need to be baptized. So we rebaptize them just so that they feel good about their commitment to Christ. And you may notice Rhea May from our staff. So Rhea May applied for a job that she did not qualify for, but I liked her initiative. So I asked her if she wanted to be a volunteer and learn some things, and she said yes. So she started out as a volunteer, and in the course of a year of volunteering, she came to church, she came to Bible studies, and eventually she decided to be baptized as well. So baptizing them is great, but we are also building them up as leaders of the church. So our boys are active in leading prayers during worship services and Bible studies. They're serving on the Lord's table on Sunday morning. And we have three boys that are also preparing lessons and delivering devotional messages on Wednesday night. So they write their complete devotional out. I review it before they deliver it to make sure it's all good. And then they deliver their devotional messages on Wednesday night, and then we critique them. How did they do on their presentation? How did they speak? How was their lesson? So we critique them so that they can continue to work on this. Eventually, perhaps they can fall into the ministry. We have several preaching schools, Church of Christ preaching schools in the Philippines, so we're hoping some of our young men will pursue that area of work. Ma'am Gigi also conducts a girls' Bible study on Saturday mornings to teach our girls how to be good Christian women. We also do song practice every Saturday, so we learn new hymns and we practice the ones that we're trying to learn so that we can do our very best in singing on worship time. We have a sustainability program. We have a vegetable garden that the children learn how to prepare the soil and plant the plants and harvest. Do the weeding, all that fun stuff, get your hands dirty. And we also do our own composting. So you can see the boys there managing our compost piles and getting our compost ready for the garden. So we have a large variety of fruit trees on the property. We have a very good tropical climate, so we can grow just about anything. We have bananas, papayas, we have pineapple, avocado. We have a lot of fruits that you're probably not familiar with that are indigenous to the Philippines, chico, atis, all kinds of fruits that trees we have on the property. And of course, we get vegetables from our vegetable garden. We currently have about 10 geese. We had two babies hatch just a couple of days before we left. So we're raising geese for food. And we're also in the future hope to have chickens and perhaps quail also on the property. The idea is let's raise as much food as we can. Let's teach these children how to raise food for themselves. They'll need that later in their life. And it helps ease the burden on the donors. We do not have to depend on donors to support as much as for our food cost. And food cost is rising. I don't know about here in the U.S., but it's rising in the Philippines. So reaching out, we also want to reach out to the community. We've been doing that for a number of years. We usually go to the impoverished communities around our city. We usually feed them or give them clothes and things like that they can benefit from. But after the super typhoon Odette in late 2021, we packed up food packs and also prepared meals for some poor people across very near to our facility, and we involved our kids in that. So the kids were actively involved in helping distribute the food packs and the food for these families. So even though our kids came from a poverty situation where one day they were hardly able to eat, now we're teaching them to help other people in need. So often we have things that are wearing out, our bedding, our mattresses, or we have clothing that was donated that's not appropriate for our children, or they have deteriorated, and we also give this stuff away to people who can benefit from that rather than throwing it in the trash. So we try and help our neighbors out with as much things as we can. So what's next for us? It's in Casa Esperanza of Angels. So in 2023, we hope to get maximum capacity for our two homes. So we need 6 more girls for our girls' home, and we need 3 more boys for our boys' home. That will bring our total up to 40 children. So we're hoping we can do that in 2023. So we're hoping that on this trip we can encourage some youth groups to come visit us, all our children that have been baptized are young Christians, and with a predominantly Catholic country, when they go to school, there's no other Church of Christ kids there. There's no other kids around, so we want to see if we can encourage some youth groups to come to the Philippines so that they can encourage our children and help edify them. We are still searching for a minister now. We had a minister. We hired a full-time minister in 2021. He worked for us for a year, but his wife works overseas. He has older children, and his children were suffering from the fact that he was in a different city working for us and really needed his help. So he resigned so that he could assist his children as they were finishing up high school and college while his wife is working overseas. So we're actively searching for a local minister. It needs to be a minister that's from the local area that can speak the language. We're also looking for a missionary couple that will assist us in this work. Ma'am Gigi and I need to travel occasionally here to the U.S. to do fundraising and report to the churches. We need somebody back there that can run the operation and continue with the spiritual guidance of the children while we're gone. So we're really looking for an additional couple that can help us in this mission work. We're hoping also in 2023 or perhaps early 2024 to finish our CEA Learning Center. You can see the building there. It is a quite large building. When we left, they were putting in the steel for the top tie beam or bond beam, and will soon be starting the roof. So also while we're gone, we have contracted a welder. He's building all the steel doors for the facility. So what's in this new building? It has classrooms. It has 4 large classrooms that can be opened up to one single large space if you want. Social worker's office, a padded room. Yes, required by law in the Philippines for licensed and registered facilities that we have to have a padded room in case we have a child that is violent, uncontrollable. They will be put in the padded room until we can calm them down and deal with them. We do not expect to use the padded room, but the government requires us to have it. So we'll also have a library and a computer lab for our children, education materials storage, and also a clinic with isolation rooms. So as you can imagine, with our children living all in one home, if one gets a cold, all of them get a cold. So we need some isolation rooms so if they have some contagious illnesses, we can separate those children out to help prevent the spread of illness. So why build this building? We are outgrowing our temporary tent, the tent that we mentioned earlier, where we do all our functions. We do our worship services, we do our Bible studies, we do tutorials, we do movie nights for the children there. We have birthday parties in there. We have guests come in to give the children meals, and we're all in that tent. It is an 18 by 36 foot tent, and it's getting small, it's getting tight. So as we continue to add children, we're running out of space, so that is a good thing. So that is one of the reasons we're building this new building. And also, the tent is quite vulnerable in inclement weather. So we have some pretty extreme weather in the Philippines, strong thunderstorms and typhoons that come through. And the tent is really just not safe to be in during those times. So we also need to meet our DSWD requirements. That's the DSWD is the Department of Social Welfare and Development, the government agency that oversees our work. And they do have these requirements, such as the padded room, the library. So all these things are required, the clinic, all these things are required by the government. So many of these things in this new building will help us meet all those requirements for accreditation. So it will also further enhance our ability to reach more people with the good news. We can begin asking more people from the community if they would like to attend church with us because we have more space to accommodate them. We can do vacation Bible school and invite kids in from the community. So this larger space will allow us more opportunities to reach people for the Lord. So we also have some infrastructure projects to complete. We were many years ago beginning to work on our drainage canals, and then we had three delivery trucks, construction delivery trucks, get too close to the canal, and our soil is very soft when it's wet, and they collapsed the entire canals and got stuck. We actually had some trucks stuck overnight before they could get them out. So we need to revisit and rebuild our canals. We also need to finish our enclosure wall. So we do have a 9-foot enclosure wall around 5 acres. And you're thinking, Mr. Brown, you are crazy. Why do you need to build a wall around the place? That's a huge project. So we do have a lot of strays. We have stray animals. We have stray people. We have a lot of things that are walking around. We just don't need them on the property. We need to keep the children protected as much as possible. If you noticed in the aerial photo, we're also surrounded by sugarcane fields. They burn those fields before they harvest the sugarcane. They run out the snakes and the rats and just makes it easier to harvest the sugarcane. So the wall actually acts as a firewall to protect our buildings and our property from that. We also experienced floods. The photo on the right was Odette in December of 2021. The entire property was underwater. And we also frequently have tropical waves that come through, and it may rain for 2 or 3 days, and we have flooding on the property. So we're building a retention pond to help us manage flooding on the property. We also need more housing for our staff. So the houses, the children's homes have limited space for staff sleeping overnight. There is space for a house mother and assistant, but no one else other than the children. So we need additional housing for staff on the property so that some of our other staff can overnight and not have to travel home every night. So how can you help? So we are still looking for more sponsors as we continue to add children in 2023 to try and maximize our houses. We need more child sponsors. We ask for $35 a month, or if you cannot afford $35, you can sponsor a child for any amount because every amount helps. So some of the children have multiple sponsors, so you could be a co-sponsor with other people to sponsor a child. So don't think that you have to come up with the $35 to sponsor a child. You can do it for a lower amount if that works into your budget. But we do ask for $35, and only $420 a year is a small price to pay to bring a child out of poverty and teach them the Word of God. So we are, of course, going to need desktop computers for our computer lab. When we get to that point, we are hoping to have 10 computers. So that would be 10 desktop computers to complete our computer lab in the near future. So 3 years ago when we did our travels, we had a donor that donated enough for us to buy a Toyota van. We did not have transportation for the children at that time. So we got the full amount we needed to buy a used van. But 30 children will no longer fit in a van. So at that time we had 3 children, now we have 30. So we need additional transportation. We are hoping to buy a mini bus, which is valued, a brand new one will be about $60,000 US, similar to the one in the photo that would seat about 30 or 32 children. So that's what we're hoping to buy in the near future so that we can transport our school children to school each day. So maybe you cannot financially help us in any way. We understand that, but you can all pray for us. So we ask for your prayers, for our staff, for our children, for the mission work there. Please also pray for our minister search. We desperately need to find a minister. So you can spread the word to others. Maybe you know someone that can sponsor a child or would like to sponsor a child or would like to help with our mission work. Please spread that to others if you're able. As we've mentioned, we need funds to complete our CEA Learning Center. We always need monthly donations for our operational cost. And if any of you would like to visit, we would love to have you come and visit us in the Philippines, spend some time with the children, teach Bible studies, whatever you would like to do, we would love to have you if you're interested in making that trip. So we also accept one-time donations of any amount that goes into our general fund to help us with our overhead costs, or if you can commit to a monthly or quarterly payment, we are happy to accept that as well. It's a terrible thing to think about, but we're not all going to live forever. So maybe you would like to leave a legacy donation when you pass from this earth. We will accept that in your honor. So we also accept stocks. We have a donor in Tennessee that has left us stocks, and those continue to make money for us and to help the mission. So if you have stocks, we can also take something like that, that if you're willing to donate. So if you didn't notice, we have a display set up in the foyer. There is a lot of photos out there that you can view if you have a few moments after our service this evening. There's also a sign-up sheet. You can sign up to sponsor a child. You can sign up for our newsletter. We do send out a monthly newsletter by email to help you keep up to date with what's going on. And there is also a brochure out there. So we pick up a brochure if you would like one. So you can follow us and keep up with our work. We have a website, www.CasaEsperanzaOfAngels.com, and you can also follow us on Facebook, Casa Esperanza of Angels Philippine Mission. If you really want to keep up to date, check our Facebook page because we post there frequently, every few days, current events. A lot of that information will not make it to the website. But if you want to keep up with us on a weekly or daily basis, check the Facebook page. You do not have to remember these long things because if you'll pick up a brochure, on the back of the brochure, it will give you our website and our Facebook page. So don't think you have to remember all this evening. So, of course, you can always contact me personally, rbrown406@hotmail.com. If you have questions or just want to chat, I'll be happy to receive your message. We want to say a big thank you to all of you for this congregation supporting us for years now, and individuals that also support us in the audience this evening. And we want to thank you for this time that we can come this evening and share with you about the work we're doing in the Philippines. Any progress is good progress, and we're making progress, so we're happy about that. It's really wonderful to see the transformation in the children. We're, of course, there hands-on every single day. So we're seeing them change physically, psychologically, spiritually. We see all the changes in them as they continue to grow and mature, and we thank you for your help in doing that. So I don't know if it's appropriate, Farron, if I can field any questions, if anyone has any questions. Okay. And does anyone have questions? We have a few minutes, I believe. I can answer any questions because it's impossible for me to cover everything. Maybe something came up in your mind that you would like to ask questions about our facility, about Ma'am Gigi or myself or the children. Anything you would like to ask, we'll be happy to answer your questions. Does anyone have a question? Anyone? Farron? Put you on the spot? So every month they get to do a video call with a family member or whoever they can contact in their family. And then their relatives can also visit the facility to see them. So we do not allow them to go home, to overnight at home or anything unless they have a death in the family or some kind of a serious emergency. And we actually ask the family to sign a liability of release because once they leave our facility, we don't know what's going to happen to them. We can't be liable for that. So if they do have to leave for some emergency or death in the family, their family has to sign a release of liability. But that doesn't happen very often. But the families can come visit them. They usually do on either a Saturday or a Sunday, and we give them a time slot where they can spend time with their relatives. We don't want to cut their family ties. Most of them, true orphans are very rare that have lost a mother and a father and don't have some other relative. So we don't want to cut those family ties. Most of those children will probably remain in the Philippines most of their lives, or maybe they'll work overseas, but they'll still come back to the Philippines. We don't want to cut their family ties. They still have contact with their families.
Do you have a cutoff age? Do they leave the home at that time, or are they allowed to stay through the rest of their education?
So we're hoping that they can finish through college. We'll send them through college. They have two stipulations when we bring them to the facility. You have to follow the house rules, and you have to do your very best in school. That's what we ask of them. So some of them fall in line very, very quickly and don't break any rules. And others we've had for 3 years, and they continue to break the rules. That's how kids are. So some children just are much easier to manage than others. But we'll keep them through college as long as they follow the rules and do their very best in school. There are some children we do not believe will be able to finish college. But if we can get them through high school, so they're literate, that's very important. So if we can get them through high school and they've learned about God, they've committed their life to Christ, we've won.
When you say overseas, where is overseas?
So there are hundreds of, if not hundreds of thousands of Filipinos working all over the world, in almost every country in the world, because finding a job in the Philippines is difficult and the pay is very, very low. So if they are successful in their studies and they can get a good degree, they're going to want to go overseas so they can make a decent amount of money and send money back to their families. There are Filipinos doing that all over the world.
How often does the military come in?
To our place or area? Not very often. So we do have radical Islamic groups in the Philippines. They usually are in the jungles, in the mountains, hiding, running from the government. They do not come down and hang out in the cities or coastal areas where the government can find them or chase them. They're generally hiding in the jungle or in the woods or in the mountains, extorting people in the mountains and things like that. They will have to go off-site. We do have a couple of nearby colleges in nearby towns, and also about 30 kilometers away in the city of Dumaguete, we have some very good colleges. Yes, Farron?
The Philippine government, are they cooperative with you in the work that you do?
Yes, they are very cooperative. They do have a very thick manual of regulations and rules that we are following. So we're licensed and registered in the Philippines as a residential care facility. They do come in for assessments. They assess our property. They will come in. They'll look at all our paperwork. They'll check the children. They'll do interviews with the staff. They check the facility to make sure it's all up to their standards. And then we, of course, have to re-register and re-license every couple of years. But they are very happy that we're there as long as we comply with their regulations. And we're free to teach the Bible, which is in China. When I was in China with my father, if we feel there's a government coming, you have to hide the Bibles. You have to do all that kind of, we don't have to do any of that. We're free to teach the Bible freely. There's no regulations against that.
Their main religion is
Catholic? Yes, sir. Predominantly 80% or more Catholic. Not that all of the 80% are really faithful to that, but that's what they profess. And evangelizing is extremely, extremely difficult. If you know anything about Catholicism, it's ingrained from birth. So it's very difficult with the older people. They don't even want to consider listening to you. But we're having good success with the children. They're open-minded, they're willing to study the Bible, and it doesn't take long for them to realize what the Bible says is not what the Catholic faith says. Any other questions? No, sir, they do not. I really don't want any help financially from the government, because then I don't want to have to do them any favors or feel committed to anything that they want to try and pressure me into. So luckily we have wonderful supporters such as yourself that can keep the mission running without any extra government involvement.
Ron, what type of electrical do you have on the compound?
So we have installed for our main line is a three-phase line because we have so many structures and buildings, but at current time, only one of the three transformers is activated. So as we continue to build and our load increases, we'll be able to activate additional transformers. So we did have to run a pay for a line running from the main highway all the way to our facility. And then we donated it back to the electrical company because they will maintain it if we do that. If we do not donate it back to them, they will not maintain it. And we do not want to be responsible for maintaining that. So we did that so that we could have the three-phase service. We only have one small generator right now. We do plan in the future to have a generator that will power most of the facility, the important things. So we do have frequent brownouts in the Philippines. Happens all the time. Excuse me, the generator? It'll be diesel. Correct.
Do you, other than the lake that you're trying to build to hold the water, do you have pumping systems to keep it out of the building?
All our buildings are elevated. So in the first children's home, the boys' home, it came right to the edge. No water came in the house. It was up to the edge of the porch. The girls' home had maybe 2 inches of water in it. And then our place where we stay had 4 inches of water. The laundry house was built too low. It should have been elevated, but it was not. So we built a dam wall around it to help prevent flooding from that house. So they are, we're nearby the Tanhai River. So when the river overflows, we're in trouble. They are building a dike along the river, but they have not gotten past us yet. And so we're hoping that they will complete that project and less threat to us.
Will the border wall that completely encircles, will that be made to floods and that sort of thing?
Maybe some, but in the last flood, it actually completely collapsed our front gate, metal gate. The water built up, and the strength of the water broke the gate open. And the water's just rushed in. You can't stop it. In some places, close to waist deep. So we have a local dentist in Tanhai that's very good. Children go every Saturday, the ones that need to go for their cleaning or for dental work. I would say it's quite expensive, but not compared to the U.S. So even though we feel like, oh my goodness, this is expensive, if I compare it to what it would cost you here in the U.S., it's just a drop in the bucket. For medical, we do have some clinics in town. That we work with. If it's a more serious issue, we have to take them to Dumaguete, which is about 30 kilometers away. They have hospitals there, good hospitals. Any other questions this evening? So we'll be out back after the service. If you have thought of anything else, we'll be glad to talk to you. We're so thankful that you gave us this opportunity to share with you this evening. I'll turn it over to you, Sir Farron.
From everything that I have seen this evening, it has been an amazing 3 years for the work that you have done. I do quite often follow the email. He does put pictures on his website so you can see the work that is being done as it is being improved. And like I said, it's been an amazing 3 years because they started out with nothing. And they have been able to accomplish all of this in that period of time. So I think it's a job well done, Ron. And we appreciate so much your efforts in this work. And you can see he is dedicated to this work. Him and his wife both
They have worked hard to achieve what they have done. And I didn't realize you had that many children. I have seen one or two show up and one or two more show up on the website, and I had no idea you had 30 kids there right now. I think that's fantastic. So we want to thank you so much for your presentation and for the work that you are doing over there. You know, when we see things like this, it should make us think about our own Christianity and our own lives that we have here and how well that we have it in our country, because these kids obviously suffered before they came to Ron and his facility. And we need to thank God every day for the blessings that we receive in life. And I'm sure that they thank God every day for what they have now, because you saw the before pictures and the after pictures of the children. And you can see from those the difference that this work is making for those people over there. And we're thankful for that. But I think we need to think of ourselves and how we can help situations like this, and just thank God for the blessings that we have in life. You know, we are blessed in wonderful ways, and I'm not talking about the physical things of life, which we try to alleviate physical problems in our lives, and we help people like Ron and his staff and the children in his home to alleviate the physical problems in their lives. But I think as we look at these things, we need to look at the spirituality of the things that are going on with us and in the world. You know, Christianity is so important, and it always has been. Almost since day one, when the church was established in Acts chapter 2, you saw people coming together to help one another, to be with each other, to encourage each other, to lift each other up in Christ. And that's something that we can always do, and I'm not talking about just our group here, but we can encourage spiritually people all over the world. And I think we need to think about that. And I think we need to think about our own Christianity and what we do for Christ, because we're doing Christ's work. When we support work like this, we are working for the Lord. And I think that's very important for us to understand. It's something that we must do together. You know, we can always accomplish far more when we work together than when we try to do it alone. But we need every individual to be a Christian, to do God's work in life. So tonight I want to challenge you to think about your Christianity. I want you to think about what you do for Christ in your life, whether it's supporting a work like this, or whether it's supporting someone else, or maybe someone in your family, someone that you know personally that you could help as a Christian. You know, we are told to go into the world, and that includes everyone. But again, it's an individual thing. So I challenge you tonight to think about your Christianity and what you have done for Christ and how you have supported the work of the church here and anywhere else for that matter. There may be someone here tonight who realized just from watching what you have seen here this evening that you need to do more, that you're incomplete in your Christianity as a child of God. We want to give you an opportunity to correct that tonight. God will forgive any sin. He will forgive any shortcoming if we will be willing to ask. There may be someone here who is not a Christian. I was amazed and very, very happy to see the number of the children at this home that have obeyed the gospel. It's almost as if every child that walks through that door will walk out a Christian. At least that's what it looks like I'm seeing. And I think that's a wonderful thing. So not only are we helping a home with children, we're doing the Lord's work. We're teaching the gospel to the people in the Philippines. And that small core of children, if they leave that home and they teach the gospel will thrive and soar just as it did in the book of Acts. All because of maybe a small beginning. It may be that you can be a part of that small beginning tonight if you're not a child of God. And we want to give you an opportunity to do that as well. Think about your life and the work that you do for the Lord. If you need to respond to the invitation this evening, we ask that you come while we stand and sing.